The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20, and it can be found on your pew Bible on page 746. Jesus called the crowd near and said to them, "Listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that contaminates a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of the mouth that contaminates the person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you just said?" Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be pulled up. Leave the Pharisees alone. They are blind people who are guides to blind people. But if a blind person leads another blind person, they will both fall into a ditch." Then Peter spoke up, "Explain this riddle to us." Jesus said, "Don't you understand yet? Don't you know that everything that goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what goes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and that's what contaminates a person in God's sight. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual sins, theft, false testimonies, and insults. These contaminate a person in God's sight, but eating without washing hands doesn't contaminate in God's sight."
He's really excelled at what he can do in his career. And he gets called to court over a speeding ticket. And he tends to get just a little out of control. Is that your favorite show too, buddy?
No, my grandparents love it.
See, your grandparents are cool folks like me. So there we go. Let's see what happens to old Sheldon here.
Penny. That's just wrong.
All right, let's go.
Wait, hold on. Before we get to the courthouse, I'd like to call on your skills as an actress.
What is this?
I've taken the liberty of scripting your appearance on the witness stand because, let's face it, you're somewhat of a loose cannon. Now, don't worry. It's written in your vernacular. So shall we rehearse?
Do I have a choice?
Well, of course you have a choice. Although we live in a deterministic universe, each individual has free will. Now sit down. Your attention to the events of November 16th. Do you remember that date?
Darn tootin', I do. If the court will excuse my homespun, corn-fed Nebraskan turn of phrase.
Excellent, go on.
The reason that date is, like, so totally fixed in my memory is that I had the privilege to be witness to one of the most heroic acts I've ever seen in, like, ever.
And who performed that heroic act?
Why, you did, sir. You, Dr. Sheldon Cooper. And may I add, it is a privilege to know you.
There's no need for compliments. This court is only interested in the facts.
But it is a fact that it's a privilege to know you. Totally. A teardrop rolls down my cheek.
Only a suggestion. A catch in your throat would work just as well.
But it is a fact that it's a privilege to know you. Totally.
Maybe you should put on your juicy pants again.
Pay the cashier. Sheldon Cooper.
Good morning, Your Honor. Dr. Sheldon Cooper, appearing in pro se. That is to say, representing himself.
I know what it means. I went to law school.
And yet you wound up in traffic court. Anyway, if it would please the court, I'd like to begin with an opening statement.
The court would advise you to make it quick, as the court had a dicey-looking breakfast burrito this morning and just took an Imodium.
Very well. Quick opening statement. Like a milking stool, my case rests on three legs. I will demonstrate that I was improperly instructed in driving by a woman whose lack of respect for society borders on the sociopathic. I will argue that the emergency met the legal doctrine of quod est necessarium est licitum, that which is necessary is legal. But first, I will raise a Sixth Amendment issue. I am unable to confront my accuser, a non-human entity, to wit, a camera. So, to sum up, improper instruction, quod est necessarium est licitum, Sixth Amendment. My milk stool is complete.
Impressive.
Thank you.
Guilty. Pay the cashier.
I object. You're completely ignoring the law.
No, I'm following the law. I'm ignoring you.
Really? I would point out that I am at the top of my profession while you preside over the kiddie table of yours.
Dr. Cooper, before I fine you in contempt and throw you in jail, I'm going to give you a chance to apologize for that last remark.
I'm a scientist. I never apologize for the truth. That's my spot.
Sheldon can be just a little bit over the top. Just a little bit. You know, anybody remember the People's Court years ago with Judge Judy and the way she would just badger at people? And you just think that folks just want to stand there and they just want to erupt and just scream back at her. But human intelligence tells us that you don't scream at somebody that controls your freedom. No matter what you think, it's easier just to bite your tongue and just step back a little bit. Today, we look at this scripture and we look at Jesus and we think Jesus was this meek and mild, quiet sort of guy, kind of just going from village to village, healing people and folks flocking to him and just hanging out with Jesus. But what we don't realize is Jesus was a little bit of a rebel, folks. In one sentence, he took the entire book of Leviticus and he threw it out the window completely. Because the Jewish people, the Pharisees at this time, they accepted the law of Leviticus as being doctrine. That this is the way they needed to live. And, you know, they talked about all these things in the book of Leviticus about you couldn't eat this animal or you couldn't eat that animal and you had to wash your hands this certain way and you had to be cleansed before you could walk into this house and you had to do all this ritual. And they were mad because if we read earlier in this story, Jesus sits down and he eats with people with unclean hands. And the Pharisees are upset about it because he's not following the law. The Jewish law. And then he just takes that whole law, that whole entire book of Leviticus, the first five books, the Pentateuch of the Bible, and he throws it out. Completely throws it out because he lets people know that it's not about the laws and the order of a particular religion. It's about the faith, the love of God, the experience God. And as we look at experiencing God, we have to ask these words, and Dr. Ray Ortland says it best. He says, the Christian who is not committed to a group of believers for praying, sharing, or serving so that he is known as he knows others is not an obedient Christian. He is not in the will of God. However vocal he may be in his theology, he is not obeying the Lord. So this kind of got me thinking a little bit. And I started thinking back to a big movement years ago. And some of you probably had them. And you probably still have them laying around somewhere. Is the little rubber wristbands that had WWJD on it. And it was to remind you, what would Jesus do? It should be changed to WWJID, perhaps? Or TIDWJD. This is what Jesus did. Not what he would do, this is what he did. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pattern my life after Jesus Christ. I'm going to do this because this is what Jesus did. We're not questioning what Jesus would do. The other one is frog. Anybody remember frog? Fully rely on God. Often there are times that the only time we rely on God is in the dark times. We forget to rely on God in the good times, to celebrate God in those times. This is the one that really, I saw this so many times as a policeman that I often wondered. It said, God is my co-pilot. God is my co-pilot. Now, I've really witnessed a whole lot of things in my time as a traffic enforcement officer, driving down the road and watching people point folks to heaven with their arm hanging out the window, and they're screaming and yelling, and the bumper sticker on the back of their car that says, "Follow me to so-and-so church." Really? You missed the point of why you put the bumper sticker on your car. If you're there to look after people and find out where their faults are and then correct them on their faults, all you're doing is making yourself look better than they are. And nobody cares. If you spout to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you don't want to be a Christian, then don't be a Christian. Jesus draws that fine line right there in the sand. You can be with me, or you can be against me. It's that simple. With me or against me. There was a young man out in Kansas City that walked into my hotel lobby one day, and he had this t-shirt on. And it had this, the most cheesiest picture of Jesus I've ever seen. And Jesus is, he's thumbs up, and across the bottom of his shirt it says, "Jesus is my homeboy." Last time I checked, Jesus was nobody's homeboy. He was somebody's savior. And we tend to allow our marketing people to tell us that's how we need to market Jesus, as a homeboy. We need to put Jesus back on the pedestal that he came from, leading and guiding us, instructing the ways of our lives. If we spout anger and hatred, and I'm going to step out here on the box, and if I make you mad, I'm sorry, I'll apologize early. But the last time I checked, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton were no man of God I've ever seen. If that upsets you, I apologize. But when you stand up at a young man's funeral and you dispel hate to people, and you incite racial separation, you are no man of God. Read the scriptures in Matthew, Al Sharpton. Jesse Jackson, wake up. Those of you that do the same things, when we have our discussions around our water coolers, when we talk to our families, when we talk to our friends, if we spout hate and we spout angry thoughts about someone, that's what's contaminating the soul. No preacher's better than anyone else. The only difference between a preacher and you all is this is my profession. That's their profession. Any preacher that stands up and spouts and declares anger towards any race, any person, or anything without knowing 100% of the facts is a thief and a liar. Because he stole from you your opinion. He stole from you your ideas. And he's implanted a seed inside you that allows hatred to grow. Same thing we do when we spout those same things. When we put it out there like that, we separate ourselves from the risen Savior. We separate ourselves from Christ, that we can't be, as it says in Matthew 5:8, happy are people who have pure hearts because they see God. For weeks now, I've asked you, where have you seen God? Are you looking for God? Are you looking for other things in the world? Matthew 5:8. Happy are people who have pure hearts. Pure. Interesting thing. In our lives, we fail. We fall short. We fail God 100% of the time. When we think we're doing right, we're usually slipping away. Because no matter what it is, when we talked about grace 4 weeks ago, we talked about sanctifying grace, prevenient grace. And we've all been invited in to be renewed and to become pure of heart. Pure of heart. And the way we can do this is through this meal. This meal that God did for us. He gave us His Son's body. 100% pure. 100% pure. We nailed Him to a cross. And ever since that day, we still separate ourselves from Him. Now the preacher inside me would like to say, Ian, when you take this bread and this juice today, that you're going to be pure of heart. But I know that most of us, when we leave here today, we won't make it to the parking lot until we have impure thoughts. We separate ourselves again. Today I'm asking you during this time of Holy Communion to pray for your heart to be pure. If you have anger and resentment, let it go. If you feel like you've sinned, there's no sin that's in your life that's not forgiven by this. Because of this, you can step back across that divided line and be with Christ instead of against Christ. Please join me in Holy Communion. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and worship in your holy name. Lord, as we go about this week, I ask you to keep our hearts pure so that we can experience the risen Savior each and every moment of the day. Lord, as the children leave today to celebrate the Sunday school roundup, I ask you to watch over them. Allow their games to be fun. Allow their food to nourish their bodies. Lead, guide, and protect us all as you always do. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.